Okay, good morning. Today's share is sponsored by Leila Nishmas, Rav Mordechai Yosef, Ben Rav Azriel Zelig, Neshama Shaman Aliyah. Thank you for that. Sorry again about last week for the late notice, for anyone who didn't get the notice in advance that there was no share. But Bez Hashem, today we are going to continue, and I'd like to finish the Halachos of Makkah B'Patish. We started last year, the Halachos of Makkah B'Patish was one of the 39 Halachos. We said that the translation of the word Makkah B'Patish was putting the final touch on an object. And we said that it's not only putting the final touch on an object, but any improvement, any adding to something or to improve something, make something better in the article, in the utensil itself, that can be included in Makkah B'Patish. We gave many, many examples. And what we left off with was discussing the following halacha. We said that if something that was broken, if you have a utensil that was broken, so we said that if the utensil became not usable at all, if it was totally not usable, so then when you fix it on Shabbos, that can be Makkah B'Patish on a Dairaisa level. That could be also a Dairaisa for Makkah B'Patish if it wasn't usable at all. If it was somewhat usable, just still considered broken, but it was somewhat usable, then to fix it on Shabbos would be Aser Midrabanan. We gave the example of the knife, and we spoke about the watch, about setting a watch on Shabbos. I did a little bit more research into the halach of the watch. Definitely, it's better not to set your watch on Shabbos. It could be what I said last week was a little bit inaccurate as far as setting the time with the dials in the back. There are those that say that perhaps it's only if you move the handles and if it's already working. Definitely it's better, like we came out last week, it's better not to fix a watch on Shabbos, especially if the watch or the clock was stopped. And then you want to start it up again, for sure it will be better as far as Makkah B'Patish, besides perhaps the electricity issues, but as far as Makkah B'Patish, if the watch or the clock has stopped, to go ahead and move it on Shabbos. There are those that say even if the clock is moving, just it happens to be at the wrong time, and you just want to go over to the handles, there are those that say that's also not permitted. There are those that say that are permitted. Perhaps for a mitzvah we could rely on it to wake up for minyan. It's a big machlokas, definitely in the Paiskim. So preferably that should be avoided on Shabbos. As far as what you asked me after the shiur, as far as there are some watches that when you move, then they start to work again. Meaning they stop before, and then when you put it on, and they work by movement. That is also a big machlokas. Rav Shlomo Zalman discusses that. Is that considered as if you went ahead and made it work on Shabbos or not, that it starts working by itself? Also a big machlokas. Definitely the best would be that if it's set to the right time already before Shabbos, and then once it's at the right time, you'd be allowed to go ahead and use it. We discussed plunging toilets last week. That I don't really have much to add. We spoke about that last week. One thing that we still need to discuss, we touched upon it a little bit, is glasses. If you have eyeglasses, and after lens, I think we were talking about it after this year. If a person has lenses, or one lens, that popped out from glasses on Shabbos, are those allowed to be fixed on Shabbos? So the halacha is the following. It's a little bit complicated, but it's going to come up in other situations as well, and it's very important to know. If it needs to be placed back in very firmly, to be tightly placed back in, then for sure that is not allowed to be done on Shabbos. Once it falls out, let's say a person bumps into something or it drops, and then it falls out, and you want to snap it back into place, but it's not done on a consistent basis, it's just something happened to it that it cracked, that it popped out, and needs to be firmly set back in place, then that of course is not allowed to be done on Shabbos. Also, if you have to fix it with a screw, sometimes the screw comes out and you have to fix the screw, that is also not allowed to be done on Shabbos. In such a situation, once it's broken and it's that it's usur to put back, then we say, the Shulchan Aruch says that it's even muksa. Even not allowed to move those eyeglasses. Besides the other situations we have in general, by anything that's muksa, you're allowed to move it by kicking it certain ways, which we discussed in the Lachos of Muksa, but that is not allowed to be moved on Shabbos, the Mishnah Berurah explains, because we're afraid you may come to fix it. So that is not allowed to be moved. If it happens out in the street, you may run into trouble, but maybe you'd have to start working ways with Tolta Begufa and Tolta Menatzad, you know, those halachas that we discussed, but those items are muksa. Also, by glasses that it's even if it's not set firmly in place, but it's just set, you know, you just snap it back in, it's like plastic or something, and you could snap it back in, you do it on a consistent basis, that is also not allowed to be done midrabbanon. That is not allowed to be done on a derabbanon level. Also, if you are afraid that you're going to fix it on Shabbos, then also that will be muksa. If it's something, no, I'm sorry, the truth is that if it's something that you constantly, it constantly falls out, and that's just not considered like in a broken state, depends, you know, on each one on the glasses. If it's not considered in a broken state at all, then it's easy to just, you know, it's plastic, you just flip it back in, then we say that you're allowed to put back on Shabbos, and then of course it wouldn't be muksa. If it's firm, then we say it'll be muksa, and because you may come to fix it, the place can say that if it needs a screw and the screw is missing, so then we don't have a suspicion that you're going to put it back, then we say that's not muksa. You could just pick it up and you'll get, you know, a screw from you know, the eye doctor, from the glasses place, after Shabbos. But if you don't have the screw, then we say you're not going to fix it. Remember, we had similar by buttons. If it's a button that you may come to put it back on Shabbos, then perhaps it's muksa. If not, not when we were discussing lachos of buttons. But that's a similar idea. That's basically what comes out as far as glasses. You had a question?
Let's say they're used totally usable. Like if one thing falls off, you can still wear it with just one.
So if the handle, so if it's totally usable, then it would not be muksa. You could still use it like that, right? Then it would not be muksa. Another example, another exception to the Rabbanans, we've been saying a couple of exceptions by the Rabbanan. We said last week, if it's easy to just fix, so if it's only also on a Rabbanan level, then we said you're allowed to put it back. So to something that needs reshaping on a regular basis. I mean, if you have like a plastic cup that, you know, it gets crushed up, so that's normal. Plastic cups get bent, and then you fix it. It would only be midrabbanon because it's not firm, and it's just that it's definitely usable a little bit before that. So to just quickly fix it, that's totally normal to happen, like an aluminum foil pan or a plastic cup or a hat, whether it's a man's hat or a lady's hat, that just gets bent and you just want to push it back into place, that is not a problem. To steam a hat, you know, with the exact bends and the pinches and things like that, that would not be allowed on Shabbos because that's really considered broken. But anything that's just a normal use and it's just bent a little bit out of shape and you just want to fix it, that is not allowed. That is, if it's just easy to do and it's normal to happen, that we say that's not a problem. Did we say the example last week with the reclining chair?
Yeah.
We did? Okay, so that's also a similar idea, that this it comes off easy and it's definitely somewhat functional when the handle was off. You just won't recline, you use it, so that is also not a problem. As far as bottle caps, now I know bottle caps is, for some reason, it's become a very, very controversial topic in Hilchos Shabbos. People take it very personally when they're asked, oh, do you open bottles on Shabbos? And they get all defensive and things like that. We discussed the halachas of opening bottles on Shabbos, talking about soda bottles, juice bottles on Shabbos. We discussed it, I think it was the first class we had in this room, it was on the halachas of kareya, even though really the place can say kareya is not so much of an issue. Kareya means tearing, it's another one of the Lama Tess halachas. It was about a year ago. We discussed some of the halachas just to review very quickly. We're not going to get into all the details because we discussed it back then, but there's different issues. The issues as far as opening up a soda bottle for the first time on Shabbos is that you are making the cap. One of the issues is, as far as Makabe Patish is concerned, is you're making the bottle cap into now a usable utensil. Before it was opened, the question is that before it was opened, this bottle cap, when it was formed in the factory, it was formed directly onto the bottle. This bottle cap cannot be used for anything except for just holding this bottle once the way it is. If you want to be able to use this cap for the future and to make it into a utensil that you could use for other soda bottles or for this soda bottle when you take a few drinks and then you close it up again and put it back in the fridge, this is only usable now once you remove it. Now once you remove it, now it becomes usable. So the question is that considered Makabe Patish on Shabbos? There's another issue in that you'll notice a lot of the soda bottles, at least a lot of the water bottles, they have a ring on the cap, then there's a ring underneath the cap. You take off the cap and that ring stays over there on the top of the bottle. Before that ring is separated from the bottle cap, so then because of that it's tightly onto the bottle, it can't be taken off and used for something else unless you go ahead and twist it off and break it off. That can be an issue of Makabe Patish. Rabbi Yashiv says that it's an issue also of Mechatech. Mechatech is one of the Lama Tess Melachos that We're not going to discuss at length over here, but mechatech means cutting down to size the way you want. So he says you want it exactly to that size because you want the ring to stay around the bottle and the cap to come off. There are those that say it's not a problem of mechatech, that's just the way it happens. I don't care that it's like that, that's just the way the factory made it. So that's why it's a discussion. Rav Shlomo Zalman seems to say that it's not a problem of mechatech, different reasons why, but one of the main issues is maka b'patish. Not a maka b'patish on the bottle, because the bottle was already a utensil back in the factory. They put in the soda, they put in the water, the juice, so that you didn't make new on Shabbos. The question is the cap. So there are those that say that that should not be done on Shabbos. Many Paiskim say it should not be done on Shabbos. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, they say from Rav Shlomo Zalman, it's brought in the Shmir Shabbos Kachasa, that it's allowed because if you look at the ring, so you'll see that there's lines and it's very noticeably different between the cap and the ring. So that's already noticeable from before, so I didn't really make that on Shabbos, it was noticeable from before. I heard from a Talmid Chacham, and I'm sure you know it's all true, that they changed the way they made the bottle caps and it's not noticeable. You'll know that there's a ring around it, but it's not totally easily recognizable, the difference between the cap and the ring. That's why there are many Paiskim that say that it is not allowed to be done on Shabbos. What preferably should be done? Should be done before Shabbos. There are Paiskim that say you would be allowed to do it on Shabbos. Can't tell anybody that it's usher, but needless to say, you come to a kiddush and there's, you know, two bottles of Diet Coke and one of them is closed and one of them is open. So okay, the one that's open maybe doesn't have as much fizz. Another one that's open is right on the other side of the table. I have to ask somebody to pass it. Fine, so what's the big deal? So you ask somebody to pass it. Why in the world should you choose the bottle that's closed if you have one that's open? You have a list of things to do before Shabbos. Open up the sodas before Shabbos. Somebody told me that seltzer gets flat. Seltzer is worse than soda, but it gets flat before by Shabbos day.
Yeah, you open it. You save our seltzer. You cut it.
You do it. You
use the quarter.
Okay, so if you cut it before Shabbos, that's also very. That's all the way around. Okay, so that would definitely help for the mechatech issue. Does that help for the makom b'patish issue? Quite possible. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says another idea you can make a hole. This helps for the metal caps. You can make a hole in the top of the cap, of course it's not puncturing any letters, but you make a hole in the top of the cap. This way when you take it off, this way it can't be, you know, now it's not its own kli, even though it could be used to cover other ones. There are those that say you can open on Shabbos as long as you throw out the cap, so you have a stash of extra caps, extra bottle caps on you. I can't come and tell you that it's usher, and I never would come across and tell you that everybody says it's usher. I do believe most Paiskim say that it's better to open before Shabbos. Even the Paiskim that's mutter, I told this to somebody once, he said, no, he knows of a Rav and Flapish that says you're allowed to even do it lechetchila. Fine, okay, good, fine. So that Rav and Flapish says you could go ahead and open it, no problem. But there are plenty of other Paiskim that say it's not allowed. Rabbi Yashiv and the Ber Moshe, Rabbi Vosner, Rabbi Nissen Karelitz, there are plenty of Paiskim that say, and definitely it's preferable. I could tell you from experience, you open up the bottles before Shabbos. By Friday night, of course, it still has fizz. And even if you don't open it again till Shabbos day, it's still fine. If you are strict about it, and I open soda bottles all my life until I learned these halachos, then I try not to. You know, I'm probably not. I try to open it before Shabbos. If you are makbid not to open soda bottles, if your husband tells you, no, in this house we don't open soda bottles, you are not allowed to ask somebody else to open the soda bottle on Shabbos. However, this is not just by soda bottles, this is by, in general, by Hilchos Shabbos. If you have a chumrah, but not just on your own chumrah, but something that's based on halacha, and somebody else goes with other paiskim, you're not allowed to go ahead and ask them to do it for you. However, if they do it by themselves, even for you, then you are allowed to use what was done for that, for the soda, you're allowed to use it. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that if the bottle cap was opened the iser in a forbidden fashion, he says you're not allowed to use you're allowed to drink it, but you're not allowed to use the soda cap. You have to get a different one. But okay, that's assuming that, you know, if it's usser. But soda cans is also a big discussion. For some reason, it seems there are more people that are strict in regards to soda cans. I was one summer for Shabbos, and there was Shabbos bris was more of a modern family, but I was eating there. The Rav said he's in charge of the kashrus, and there are soda cans by every table. So I was there, it was a Shabbos bris, I went with my son away for Shabbos, so, you know, we didn't open it. Then one guy was sitting across from us, Chvod HaRav, you know, you don't, it was this Israeli guy, you don't open soda cans, I'll open a few. And he opens the soda. Then I had the drink, then I had it, because I didn't tell him to do it. But he did it, and even though he did it for me, so then you're allowed to do it. And then, you know, my son tried to get his attention, then he opened up his, fine. So, but if someone does it for you, that is allowed. Yeah.
Can you ask a child to open, like, not necessarily just soda, for like grape juice? You ran out of grape juice, you need more.
So then, ready to mitzvah. You know, a child is, you know, there's an is a pasuk in the Torah. It's a pasuk in the Torah. You know, there's an issue. The worst, there's a pasuk in the Torah that says you're not allowed to have your children do malacha. So, okay, I'm not saying this is malacha. I'm just saying that this is a machlokes. So, is it better for you or a child? The advantage of a child is the child's not bar mitzvah. The disadvantage is that, you know, you just teach the child that, okay, this is, you know, it's not in the world, you're allowed to do it, and then they'll know for later. Yeah, perhaps it would be better for a child. I don't see why it should be more strict, you know, halacha l'maaseh, it should be more strict than the adults. Yeah, probably the better to be ask a child. Something that's clearly forbidden, to turn on a light on Shabbos, that we're not discussing these halachas now. Can you just simply go ahead and ask a child? Can I pick up my 2-year-old and hold him right next to the light to hold do the switch? A big discussion, but not for now. But something that is a machlokes, whether it's permitted or not. Yeah, perhaps it's better to ask a child. It's definitely better in general to ask a goy than to ask a child. We're not learning the halachas now of Amir Lakum on Shabbos, but Bez Hashem, if we do. Sorry?
I can't open your Kiddush stuff. You know, I'm saying unless it's...
Mm-hmm. For what?
For grape juice, unless it's, you know...
Why not?
If it's not...
Oh, he's saying as far as wine, for goyim. Okay, fine, as far as mevusha. Yeah, right, of course, yeah. As far as this specific example, you have to, you have to be careful as far as the goyim. Fine. I spent already more time than I wanted to on that. Reassembling things. If different parts of something come apart, so then if they need to be reattached tightly, then if you do it tight, like we were discussing about the glasses before, if you need to reattach it tightly, that could be aser midaraisa. If it needs to be attached loosely, then it could be aser midarabanan. So if you have a handle to a pot and the handle comes off, or a loose screw or something, you know, to a handle of a pot, you're not allowed to fix that on Shabbos. If it's only attached loosely, then it will be aser only midarabanan. Wheels of a carriage. You're rolling the carriage along and a wheel pops off, and you know, how are you going to make it home? So if you can't go ahead and reattach the wheel on Shabbos, if you reattach it tightly, that'll become aser midaraisa. If you attach it loosely, that'll be aser midarabanan. In regards to items that are attached loosely...
What are you supposed to do with the stroller?
So that's a good question. The stroller is not muksa because it's definitely usable without it. You could definitely, you know, balance it. If you hold it the Erev and you're somewhere where, you know, you're close enough to the house where you could just carry it, you could carry the stroller. If you can't carry the stroller, you take out the baby and you carry the baby. And if it's in a safe place, or if you're by your neighbor's house.
The stroller is not muksa though?
I'm saying if it's still usable on three legs, unless you say similar to what we had before, that you may come to fix it. Yeah, quite possible. Yeah, that's true. If we say you may come to fix it, the same way we said before with the glasses, the Shulchan Aruch example is by an oven. They had certain ovens with certain legs. A table and a chair we're going to discuss also. Yeah. If you may come to fix it, yeah, quite possible it would be even muksa. If you're out on the street where you can't, where you don't want to leave the stroller out on the street, it depends how far you're walking, you may run into trouble. Yeah, I'd have to see if there's any eitzah as far as that. But the Mishnah Berurah, you know, comes out true that will be muksa. Something that's loose, that's always considered loose, like a shoelace. Right? We're discussing as far as putting in new shoelaces. So we said to put in a shoelace for the first time, we said the last class that's not allowed. But if a shoelace falls out on Shabbos, and not for the first time, but it fell out on Shabbos, that we said is allowed to be put back on Shabbos. That's not considered ever tight. And that, not new for the first time. But if a shoelace comes out, you know what happens? You didn't realize it was almost out, and then it popped out. You're allowed to put it back on Shabbos. Also, a belt to a coat. Right? Remember we said to a coat or an outfit, they're not allowed to put a belt new into a coat on Shabbos. In a pair of pants, you're allowed to. But as far as a coat, that is not allowed. But if it comes out, your kid's walking in the street and they're playing with their belt to their coat and it comes out, that's always loose. Since it came out, we say that's normal to come out. You're allowed to put it back on Shabbos. Fine. If a drawer comes out to a desk, if you have some type of desk or armoire and a desk and a drawer comes out and it's a removable desk, so we discussed halachas of buses and all those things, if there's something looks in there, if you remember, but if the drawer comes out, also the place can say you're allowed to take that drawer and put it back. You don't have to be worried as far as makabah patish, that you're fixing something, this drawer will be considered broken, but since it's always loose, you know, in and out, and it could totally be taken out 100%, and it came out by mistake, it came out totally, that is allowed to be put back on Shabbos. When we get Bez Hashem to the lachos of Baina, we have to discuss if it's a very, very big closet, if it came out totally, perhaps that could be an issue of Baina, if the armoire is a certain size, but a regular small desk, something like that, that is not a problem. A leaf to a table, We think we said that even last time, the leaf to a table is allowed to be done. That's usually not tight. I mean, you close the table around it tight, but it's very easy to open up. You're allowed to put in a leaf into a table on Shabbos. That's not considered baina, and it's not considered makabel pavish. Strengthening an article. Besides, a lot of times, till now, we've been talking about fixing and improving. Just to strengthen an article is also not allowed. That's also considered makabel pavish. This can be to prevent further damage, or just in general, to strengthen something. So, you know better than me, but supposedly nail polish helps. If a person has stockings and there's a run in the stockings, so you put nail polish to make sure it doesn't get any bigger, to get any longer. So a person puts nail polish, that is not allowed to be done on Shabbos. That is strengthening the item. That is not allowed. That is also included in Makav Patish. Like we mentioned last time, that Makav Patish isn't only in situations where the article wasn't usable beforehand. Even if it was totally usable beforehand, but you improve it or you strengthen it, that is also not allowed on Shabbos. As far as shetels, you're not allowed to put hairspray into a shetel to strengthen it, you know, to keep it shaped. If it was totally, totally disheveled, then anyways, that would not be allowed to straighten. But even if it's just, you know, it's basically okay, you just want to strengthen it to this way it doesn't get disheveled and out of shape. Also, the place can say that you're not allowed to put the hairspray in because that is strengthening the shetel. That is not allowed. You had told me that the Rav had given a shir about shetels, you know, certain things about combing on Shabbos. As far as combing on Shabbos, so if it's totally disheveled and you want to really straighten it out, then that would not be allowed. As far as stam, regular combing and brushing a shetel on Shabbos, I'm not going to come here and tell you you're not allowed. If the Rav himself told you that, you're allowed to go ahead and brush and comb shetels on Shabbos. However, the Peskim do say, the Mishnah Berurah says, that to do it very vigorously and very strong and like very, very hard, that you should not do, because that actually we are afraid of soser. We're afraid of soser kli. A shetel really is considered a beged. It's considered an article of clothing. That's why it comes into issue as far as sfira and the 3 weeks and things like that. But I'm wearing a new one. But as far as vigorously combing and shaping it, but combing it and brushing it, that should be avoided, because that could, it's similar to a broom, that some of the hairs could come out, and that can be soser. That could be demolishing a kli. That should be avoided on Shabbos, even though, of course, it's makalkal. You're not happy that that happens. But still, that could be asur midarabanan. Therefore, you know, to do it vigorously, that should not be done. But stam, regular brushing, that we'll say is allowed.
If afterward, then you still like move it around. You know what I'm saying?
Well, then it won't. Then it won't. So what's the purpose in it?
So it helps a little.
Helps a little. Okay. If it helps a little, I would imagine it.
You know, you're right. Removing the full.
Let me look up again. Well, the Paiskim that brought this. Let me see if they mentioned that. But then I have to get back to you. I don't remember seeing such a difference. If it's helping, it's helping. But right, so unscented, right, that we spoke about last week. As far as scenting garments, that is not allowed for sure. Yeah, if it's a scent, then we said that's not allowed. You're not allowed to put a scent into an item of clothing, or carpet, or curtains, or also a shetel. Right, for sure. That would not be allowed. But, sorry?
The hair.
The hair also, right.
Your own hair.
Your own hair, that would also not be allowed. I think that's also not allowed. I'm pretty sure. No, and as far as onto the body, we said it's not a problem. As far as the hair itself, let me look into that again. It's probably in my notes back over here. But as far as the hair, I'll look into that again. It's permitted to remove, I think we touched upon this last time, it's permitted to remove external problems with an item. If you have a problem with the item and you want to make something better, but it's an external problem, it's something that's not in the garment itself, the utensil, the kli itself, then we say that is allowed to be used on Shabbos. Not because it was usable without it, we said that's not enough. But since it's external, it's nothing to do with the article itself, then we say that is allowed. Therefore, the place can tell us, you are allowed to remove a price tag on Shabbos. Of course, you have to be careful with the halachos of kereya and ripping letters and things like that, but a price tag is allowed to be removed, even though you wouldn't wear the clothes with it on, but that's considered external. It's, you have the garment itself, then you have the price tag. You don't want to go out around with the price tag. You're allowed to remove that on Shabbos. Also, pins from a new shirt that were there just to keep the form. If you got a thorn caught in the shirt, these are all external things that are allowed cleaners to be removed on Shabbos. A cleaner's tag, yeah, that's all external.
Can you cut the price tag?
If the only way to get it off is to cut it, you're allowed to cut it, which is about to say similar, is to, I mean, again, as far as makom patish, you have to be careful with the lachos of kireya and things like that. You know, if it's a piece of paper, you know, it will be a problem of kireya. But a lot of times you have the price tag, or if you have, like, let's say, two shoes or two boots that are connected with a hard plastic, so the hard plastic, there's no problem of kireya, similar to what we said before with the bottle caps, that really kireya, there's no issue with that, because kireya is only on a soft, pliable material. So to pull apart those two boots and remove that is not a problem. The thin plastic, the thin hard plastic that connects the price tags or the company name, that's not a problem to remove on Shabbos. If the only way to do it, if you're not strong enough to do it with your hands, if you need to do it with a knife, you do it with a knife. If you don't have access to a knife, you're allowed to do it with the scissors. The scissors is muksa. It's a klish malachta le'iser that is mutal le'tzer gufoy, halachas that we all discussed by the halachas of muksa. If that's what you need to do, you're allowed to do it. Once you're holding the scissors, then you go ahead and you put it away, and then you don't touch it again. But it's a klish malachta le'iser. It's muksa. It is muksa. Scissors is muksa. But it's a klish malachta le'iser that's mutal le'tzer gufoy. If that's the only way you could remove this price tag, and you want to remove the price tag, that is allowed to be done on Shabbos. That's why you're allowed to wash dishes on Shabbos, even though it's dirty. And of course, I'm not going to use these dishes again without cleaning it. But all the food that's on the dish, that's all external. That's obviously not a problem of makom patish.
There's no problem of not preparing your stuff for Shabbos,
You should, for sure.
No,
for sure, you should have it.
No problem once Shabbos starts, and you didn't prepare it. So.
Yeah. No, there's no knas like that. For this, there's no knas. Is that? There's certain things that you're supposed to do before Shabbos, besides, you know, the bottle caps and things like that, halachas that you're supposed to preferably do before Shabbos. Proof said preferably you should put the blech on before Shabbos and crock pot and all of it. You're allowed to do it on Shabbos if you're not able to. People who, if you live in a neighborhood without an Erev, within a half hour before Shabbos, you're supposed to make sure there's nothing in your pockets. Or if you don't use the Erev, you know, you shouldn't be having things in your pockets because you may go to carry it on Shabbos. Yeah, there are plenty of things that Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah say, you know, it's supposed to be done before Shabbos. All these things are preferably done before Shabbos. But even if we're coming to tell you that it's mutter, so if you didn't do it before Shabbos, so you're allowed to do it on Shabbos. Temporary repairs are also permitted as long as it's evident that it is temporary. So putting in, we said you're not allowed to put in a new shoelace, but let's say you have a pair of shoes and you need to put in shoelaces. So what you're allowed to do is, if you want, you don't have to, but to put in a pair of shoelaces that doesn't match whatsoever. So if it doesn't match, then it's pretty obvious that it's only temporary, that after Shabbos you're going to remove it. Then we say that is allowed because that's evident that that's only a temporary fix, and then that doesn't have the chashivas of makom patish, and then that is allowed. Similar to what we said before, something that's just like a normal adjustment is also permitted. Similar to what we said by the Darabonans, that if it, like by a hat or by a plastic cup, aluminum foil pan, that just fixes, you know, you fix it, it constantly happens, that's allowed. There are those that talk about a baby swing. And, you know, of course, I'm not talking about if there's lights or if there's music, but if you have a baby swing that needs to be wound up. So there are those that say that that's allowed to be used on Shabbos because the baby swing by itself is not considered broken. As long as the baby swing is not swinging. It's broken? Of course not. There's no baby inside, so it's not swinging. Once I put my baby inside, then I'm allowed to go wind it up. There are those that say you're allowed to wind it up. Again, no music and no lights, but you're allowed to wind it up, and then it'll swing, and then it'll swing like that. It wasn't considered broken before. That's just a normal adjustment. You put the baby in, you set it that it's able to swing, and you turn the dial. If there's nothing, you know, electric, or and there's no lights or any or music, then there are those that say that that will be allowed. Not everybody agrees to that. Again, if you can, if you wanted, you could just push it, then for sure that would be allowed. But to wind it up, that is a machlekes. Fine. We said before, as far as something, apologize if I'm going a little bit out of order, but as far as something that was broken. So we discussed in Lachas of Muksa, something it's possible to become Muksa on Shabbos. A lot of people have that misconception. They think that if something started off Shabbos not Muksa, it can't become Muksa. They get confused with the exact opposite. Remember that if something started off Shabbos Muksa, then it can't become not Muksa. But something that starts off Shabbos not Muksa can become Muksa on Shabbos. So things that break, like we discussed before as far as the eyeglasses, if something that breaks, that could become Muksa on Shabbos. Also as far as a table or a chair, if something breaks on Shabbos, then that could become Muksa on Shabbos. If it's totally not usable, then for sure it's Muksa. Even if it's somewhat usable, like we were discussing before, even if it's somewhat usable, if there is a suspicion that you may come to fix it on Shabbos, then that'll also be Muksa. So as far as a table and a chair, something like that, if the leg is still around, that you may come to fix it, there the Mishnah Berurah says, based on the Shulchan Aruch, that that'll be Muksa. As far as food, you and I, we were discussing this once as far as milking seltzer. on Shabbos. Remember that? Mm-hmm. So as far as food, so there's a big discussion, is there makab patish by food? So there are those that say that there's no makab patish by food. The Yishalmi seems to say that there is makab patish by food, but generally it's not so much of a problem. Shlomo Zalman Orbach says that even if there is makab patish by food, Shlomo Zalman Orbach says that's only if it causes like an intrinsic change, like a chemical reaction. But if a person wants to have some type of soda machine or a seltzer machine, that it just adds the bubbles, it just adds the carbonation to the soda, to the water, and that puts it together, then we'd say that that is not makab patish. There's no chemical reaction or anything like that. That's just putting two things together. As far as by food, we say that that is not considered makab patish. That is why you're allowed to make tea and coffee on Shabbos. There's no intrinsic change. Find something dissolved into the hot water, so then hot cocoa or chocolate milk, things like that, those are all not considered makab patish for Shabbos. Now, before we started makab patish, you would have said, oh, of course that's not makab patish. Why in the world do I have makab patish? But now that we've seen so many examples, now some of you may think, well, and I'm putting two things together. We discussed, you know, making like those fruit cups, you know, with the stem and the cup. You would think, okay, maybe that's not makab patish. By food, we say that it's not makab patish unless there is a chemical reaction or something intrinsic. The issue of as far as makab patish by food, the only time it really comes about is by challah and trumas and maisers. So trumas and maisers we take off in Eretz Yisrael. Challah we take off even in America. So the halacha is that you should not take off challah on Shabbos, or trumas and maisers if you're in Eretz Yisrael, you should not take that off on Shabbos. The halacha is that you should not eat food that you have not been mafresh challah from yet, by bread, challah, and by fruits and vegetables, by trumas and maisers. So that is not allowed to be done on Shabbos, the Shulchan Aruch says. It's actually machoikis, but we come out that should not be done because that is like fixing something. It wasn't edible before, and now you're making it edible. Now you're able to eat it. Let's say a person comes to the Shabbos table, home-baked challah, and they say, oi, I never took off challah from my challah. So now, what should a person do on Shabbos? So in general, halacha is, besides Shabbos, during the week, we're not learning halachos challah right now, but during the week, you're allowed to take it off even if the bread is totally baked, it's totally finished, and you're ready to eat it. So you're allowed to take off challah at that point, and Shlomo Zalman Orbach says, even with a bracha, you take off challah at that point. But let's say this happens on Shabbos, and you realize on Shabbos, so you're not supposed to be taking challah off on Shabbos, because that's considered like masakan mana. So what's the halacha? So the halacha is the following. In Eretz Yisrael, we say that nowadays challah is a very strong derabanan. It's a pasuk in the Torah. But nowadays that there's no Beis HaMikdash, so in Eretz Yisrael it's a very strong derabanan. And in Chutz La'aretz, it's a weak derabanan. So in Eretz Yisrael, we say that on Shabbos, if you realize on Shabbos, you can't take off challah. No matter what, you can't eat the challah. You could wait till after Shabbos. Maybe you'll save it for next Shabbos. You'll do it. You'll take off challah at some point during the week. But on Shabbos, there's no Eitzah for you to do on Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael to take off the challah from the challah. However, in America, what you should do is the following. What you do is you take off a piece from the challah, and on Matzah Shabbos, or Sunday or Monday, you take off a piece from that piece. Okay? You can ask your daughter. I taught this in class. You take off your daughter. You take off a piece from that piece. And then you're allowed to eat the challah on Shabbos. So again, you take off a piece from the challah. You could eat the challah on Shabbos. And then after Shabbos, you take off a piece from that piece. At that point, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Orbach says you do not make a bracha. Because since really you took off the piece already this morning on Shabbos, or if you're going to do a matzah Shabbos, and then later you're just taking off a piece from that piece, then we say that you should not make a bracha. But that in Chutz La'aretz, that is an idea, a way out, that you're allowed to do it if you realize on Shabbos that you did not take off challah.
What about on Yantif? I mean, I know we discussed baking on Yantif, but let's say you're out of challah and you need challah. You can't make challah on Yantif then because you can't do a fresh challah?
Can you make a small enough batch?
Okay, that's also an Eitzah. Can you go make one lechatchila like that? I mean, lush. Anyways, we said the one so simple, you know, to do lush and to bake challah from scratch on Shabbos, on Yom Tov. I mean,
but this would be another reason why you can't make.
Yeah, if you're not going to be able to take off challah and to put yourself in such a situation on purpose, right? And imagine, I'm trying to remember what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah is in Beya. Let me look it up again. I have to look up again as far as on Yom Tov now.
Not really practical,
right, yeah, right.
Some people would.
One last halacha that we need to discuss is in regards to music. Of course, we're not allowed to play music on Shabbos, right? You ask anybody, of course, you're not allowed to play music on Shabbos. If you ask the kids, why you're not allowed to play music on Shabbos? Because it's muksa, right? But the reason why you're not allowed, they'll say that's why you're not allowed to color on Shabbos, because it's muksa. But the reason why you're not allowed to play music on Shabbos with a musical instrument is because of makah b'patish. What do I mean? Because the Gemara says, it's also Mishnah Gemara and Beya, that you were afraid that the musical instrument may break. And if it may break, then we're afraid you may come to fix the musical instrument. Fixing the musical instrument would be makah b'patish, fixing something on Shabbos or Yontif. So that's why you're not allowed to play musical instruments on Shabbos. It's all, of course, medarabanan, because in medarabanan you may come, it may come to break, and then you may come to fix it, and then that will be a deraisa of makah b'patish. This is not only by musical instruments, but anything that's made for sound, like ringing bells and blowing a whistle. If you have a whistle, blowing the whistle, you come to a door and you want to knock on the door, and there's a door knocker, right? So during the week, you know, even a lot of people during the week, they don't use that. But on Shabbos, that is not allowed to be used, because that is made to make, not music, but it's made to make noise. That is also included in the Gzeira, that it's not allowed to be used on Shabbos, because it may come to break, and then you may fix it. Rattles, dolls that talk, toy telephones, those are all included. When we're discussing the halachas of muksa, we discussed what's the muksa status with those halachas as far as adults using it, adults picking it up and handing it to a child, children above chinuch, below chinuch. We discussed all the different situations for that. You can check your notes for that as far as what should be done with those items as far as muksa, but those are all not allowed to be played with on Shabbos. Utensils that are not made for the purpose of noise, so there the halacha is the following. Those, you're allowed to use them, but you should not use them to go ahead and make music. So you take a spoon or a fork and you bang on the table for a beat, that should not be done on Shabbos. Even though, of course, the fork or the spoon is not a musical instrument and it wasn't even made for the purpose of music, but that should not be done because you are going ahead and you're using it for a beat. You're allowed, if you want to get everyone's attention, you want to make a l'chaim, a toast, you're allowed to bang a spoon on the side of a glass so it gets everyone's attention. That's not, you know, for a beat. That's not for music. That would be allowed, but to bang it on the table for a beat, that would not be allowed. Also, you shouldn't bang on the table, even with your fingers and your hands, to accompany singing. We're going to discuss clapping in a moment. So that also should preferably not be done with your fingers and hands. A lot of times you'll find people. Okay, so we're going to get to some heterim in a second for Zmiris on Shabbos. But technically speaking, you should not be, you know, going like this on Shabbos. I was actually somewhere for Shabbos a few weeks ago by a different Shabbos bris, and there was a guy there who was banging on the table, you know, for close to 2 hours. I mean, he really had a very good voice, and, you know, the family of the bris was very into Zmir, so it was really beautiful, but he was banging away. So we'll see if there's heterim in a moment, but that is included in music on Shabbos. You're allowed to sing on Shabbos, but as far as music, you're using a utensil, which is the table, for music.
Are you afraid that the table might break? I'm trying to figure out.
This guy was, the table was going to break. I mean, this guy. But the issue is not so much that the spoon is going to break or the table is going to break and going to fix it, but we say that that's all included.
Right,
they say that's all included in music on Shabbos.
Yeah, why is music forbidden? I'm confused about that.
A musical instrument is forbidden because the musical instrument may break and then you may want to fix it. Fixing it is makah b'patish.
But
there are those that say one reason given, I think even the Mishnah Berurah says this reason, is that even if you bang on the table, a lot of times that's accompanied with real music. So since that's accompanied with real music, and real music is not allowed, so you may go get a regular musical instrument. I know you're making a face because it seems like very far-fetched, but this is the Shulchan Aruch. This is the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah.
No, I don't understand why musical instruments.
Because the Mishnah Berurah is telling us that is all included in that category, because you may use musical instruments, and the musical instruments, because it may break, and then when it may break, you may come to fix it. It's all may, and that's all included. And by clapping also, hold on 1 second. By clapping also, like you mentioned, clapping. Technically, the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah say, you know, you shouldn't clap on Shabbos because, again, that is usually accompanied with music, and that should not be done because that's all included. The the Ramah comes out with a big heter. The Ramah says that the reason why a lot of people are makel is because nowadays we're not such experts in fixing musical instruments, and the place can say, like, why not? I mean, what we were worse than back then. Of course, not everybody is experts in fixing musical instruments, but there are people that are, so that's the gzera. But the Ramah does say that, so therefore there are those that are makel. The Mishnah Berurah says, well, you shouldn't rely on such a heter. He says, unless it's for a dvar mitzvah. Unless it's for a mitzvah. So if it's for a mitzvah, there you find people, not musical instruments, that the Bir Halacha says that that's too far to actually use a musical instrument for a mitzvah, but banging on the table and clapping, that those that say for the purpose of a mitzvah, that is allowed. What is a mitzvah? So Simchas Torah is a mitzvah, and there are those that say that Zmirais on Shabbos is a mitzvah. Singing in Shul, there are those that say it's a mitzvah. There are those that say you clap with the hands backward, like a shinui, also good, that's like a reminder. But there are those that say you're allowed to clap regular because that's for Zmirais, that's all part of a mitzvah. And in Shul, things like that, there are definitely plenty what to rely on as far as clapping and banging on the table. When it comes to a mitzvah of Zmiras, there we say, for a mitzvah, we say you'll be allowed to rely on it. Whistling on Shabbos is permitted. You're allowed to whistle with your mouth on Shabbos. Not using a whistle that we spoke about before, but whistle with your mouth, that is allowed, even to a tune that the Ramah says. Fine, as far as the toys we spoke about last time. Sorry?
Snapping,
we said... he talks about snapping. We don't have here about snapping. That, I think, the Mishnah Berurah says that is not allowed, unless you go for a mitzvah. But to snap with your fingers, that we say is not allowed. But whistling, you're not really using anything, even though it always bothered me, like, what's the difference between whistling and snapping? It's really not a utensil, it's just my body. But snapping, the Mishnah Berurah says you shouldn't, but whistling, the Ramah says you'd be allowed to. There are those that say a heter that you may have heard of, the Aruch HaShulchan and the Shama Zalman Orbach say that this also includes dancing, by the way. Also, the Shulchan Aruch says you're not supposed to dance because dancing also is usually accompanied with music, and then music, you may come to play the music, you may come to break, and it may come to fix it. So you had a simcha, simcha's Torah is allowed, where you come to simcha, there are those that say you shouldn't dance. But the Aruch HaShulchan and Shama Zalman Orbach have a heter that the dancing that we have nowadays is not real dancing. Not really dancing. We just, especially the men, you just stomp, you ever see the men dance, that's not really dancing. Only dancing that's like real, I don't know, because that's because something is real dancing, that is a problem. So I saw Rab Simcha Bunim Kohen, he brings this Aruch HaShulchan Rab Shama Zalman Orbach, he says it's a chiddush gadol. He says it's a big chiddush to say such a heter, that our dancing is not really dancing, but that is something also that you may have heard of, that no, as far as dancing is concerned, I know Rab Zalig Epstein, my Rosh Hashiva of Shara Torah, is very mock, but not to dance, okay, you know from your boys, that Shara Torah guys don't dance. On Shabbos, Me'ah Yontif is different by Simchas Torah, but it's known that the Shara Torah guys don't dance. I know in Camp Ashraga, the boys go to Camp Ashraga the whole camp is dancing except for the Shara Torah guys by Ashraga, and the Bedavka dance around the Shara Torah table by Shalosh Shudis because the Shara Torah guys are sitting there and they're like Bedavka not dancing. Everybody else dance. They have their Rosh Hashivas. There's definitely a machlekes about it. And I was in the mirror for 8 years. I'm Nassim Tzvi Finkel, who is a Rosh Hashiva, obviously a Talmud Chacham. He danced. I remember he got up. He was once talking about learning Gemara, and he said, it's so geschmack to learn Gemara, we have to dance. So we got up and danced, and everybody danced. And my friend was a Shara Torah guy, and he sat there. He was got 400 people dancing. He was the only one not dancing. I figured at that point, okay, now I'm in the mirror. I could dance. So so I danced. I danced with Rosh Hashiva. But again, there are those that dance, there are those that don't dance. There's definitely what to rely on as far as a mitzvah, or as far as that's not really considered dancing. That's a heter in regards to dancing, but there are those that are definitely makbid not to dance. Just quickly, as far as setting an alarm clock before Shabbos. Of course, you can't set an alarm clock on Shabbos, but to set an alarm clock before Shabbos, so the minhag is that is considered permitted. That is not a problem to set before Shabbos. We even said, if you remember by the Lachos of Muksa, we said Rabbi Yashav holds that an alarm clock is not Muksa. You're allowed to move it. You can't shut it off, of course, but if it's making a lot of noise and it's bothering you, you're allowed to pick it up and bring it into the other room. However, Moshe Feinstein says that you should not use an alarm clock that's loud enough that it could be heard in the other room. Now, there's a couple reasons for this. One reason is because that's considered afshel milsa, that's like making a lot of noise. We discussed this when we discussed the malacha of Zeireya, as far as using sprinklers on Shabbos, as far as watering your grass. That's like afshel milsa, it just doesn't look right. It's just not Shabbosdik. So he says that that's also not, it's a lot of noise on Shabbos. Also, Rav Moshe says that we suspect that someone who hears it is going to suspect that you'd set it on Shabbos. a big chiddush. That, you know, that's what we're, that we suspect, that people are going to think that you said it on Shabbos. So he says that if it's not able to be heard outside the room, so no one's going to hear it, so no one's going to suspect you. So that's why it has to be heard only in the room. There are those that say that it, as long as it's not heard outside into the street, I think that's usually the minhag, that you're allowed to set an alarm clock as long as it's not very, very loud. But it shouldn't be set to music or the radio, just a regular buzzing sound. That's mekubal, that's allowed to be used on Shabbos. Tevil kalim, you should not be tevil and kalim on Shabbos. Besides, they now have to pay the $2. But the tevil and kalim, that's also considered like masak and mono, because you shouldn't use it beforehand. Even once, you're not allowed to use it before you tevil it. So that's also considered like fixing it, like Masak and Mana in a way, that should not be done on Shabbos. Also swimming, should not be swimming on Shabbos for a number of reasons, but the one of the main reasons that brought in the Shulchan Aruch and the Gemara is Makah B'Patash. Because when you go swimming, when you're learning how to swim, you may build a raft. Have you heard that? That's the reason, one of the reasons why you're not allowed to swim on Shabbos, besides the issues of Schita, and if there's no Erev, so then you're kicking up the water, then it could be like you're carrying the water. Plenty of issues, and also it's the Dechol, it's not Shabbos dik anyways, but that is also in the category of Makah B'Patash, because you may build a raft, that is not allowed. Also, you should not be floating like a toy boat on Shabbos. In a swimming pool, that's allowed, but in a river or a pond, you should not be floating toy boats if you're going, you know, on a walk by some river or some pond. And besides making a toy boat, we said anyways is not allowed. Remember we said the last time, not allowed to shape it. But as far as floating it on Shabbos, that is also not allowed. Fine. Maybe we'll discuss after we, you know, finish the shiur. Once we're finished, what should we do next week? Should we do Baina? Maybe we'll do Malabin. Just a couple other malachas we want to finish up, and then we could discuss what goes after that.
I showed up a few minutes late, so you might just stop running, and you don't have to like lift up the thing and like adjust, but like you just have to touch the
So we're going to discuss that when we discuss Baina. I'll tell you the answer in a second, but that's as far as Baina. Okay, the show is over. We can stop.